This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
Oh, did he get it? PCA down the line. And it's gone. Number 15. Raise the roof. And it's 2-0.
Joined now by Pete Crow Armstrong. Curveball down. You took out 15th of the year. You have a ton of barrels below that portion of the zone. You're dominating there. Why are you still locked in below the zone?
That's some of the natural ability that I think a lot of us carry on with us as we go. But, it gets me into some trouble a lot of the times, too. And when I'm able to execute, it's nice.
Lance Brozdowski, as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That was him on Marquee, and he joins us now via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Lance, as you heard, not only works for Marquee, just an excellent player develop analyst for the network, can talk about a lot of different aspects of baseball, not just in pitching, but also just prospect development when it comes to swing, I think, mechanics and just the nitty-gritty of baseball that I really enjoy. So without further ado, Lance, we're happy to have you on Raheem and Harris on the Score.
Thank you for having me. How are you guys doing?
We're doing about as well as the Cubs right now, just kind of cruising along, enjoying the summer, hoping that this weather today can hold, which we know it won't, but we're hoping it can hold for longer than maybe it is going to. So that's the story. We know the weather was a real factor in this last homestand for the Cubs, but now they get out of town, they take on the Washington Nationals, and then it gets really interesting when you're talking about the team with the best record in all of baseball, a dominant Detroit Tigers team, and then the Phillies to round things out. This seems like a very pivotal 9-day stretch because you're playing 9 games in 9 days, and you're not going to get much rest after today.
Yeah, you're going to get some really good pitching, too. Mackenzie Gore, I think, is going to start one of these first 2 games in Washington, and then you're getting Scooball on Friday. So, I mean, this is one of the top 3-4 offenses in all of baseball, based on any metric you want to look at, the Cubs. And you're matching up against some of the best pitchers in baseball. You know, like, you could pound up on the White Sox and the Rockies and the Marlins all you want, but, you know, this team has playoff hopes and aspirations, and it seems like those are, I mean, looking really probable right now. So I'm locked in on some of these bigger matchups versus better pitchers, because that's what you're going to get in the postseason. Like, you're going to face some of these teams in the NL, you're going to get the Phillies, and they're going to roll out 3 or 4 starters that are, you know, arguably better than any starter you have. And you gotta, if your offense is this good, you gotta put up against some of the bigger arms in baseball.
Lance also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Lance, I was really excited to talk to you when I heard you were coming on, because you've been studying, ever since he's been a Cubs starter, Jameson Taillon and the mix of pitches that he has. I am reminded of a couple years ago when he first introduced the sweeper and how that had negatively affected his other pitches. When you summarize that, and please do so for us in this discussion, how do you feel about what he's done this year to make everything sing the way he has with that kick change that he's added?
Yeah. So the sweeper is like, I mean, it's this funky pitch where you're basically cueing curveball and you're allowing like the seams of the baseball to create the lateral movement. So it's become in vogue as the league and sharper teams in baseball have started to get a really good understanding of like how the seams of the baseball interact with the air. And I know a lot of people like go, oh my God, I don't care about this. But you know what? Like the most basic thing, and I like this idea. A lot of the time, two-seam and four-seam fastball are thrown exactly the same. Your cue as a pitcher is the same. Just rip it, right? You're trying to throw it as hard as you can. The reason the two-seam moves to the right is this concept of seam effects. And understanding that and utilizing that in a way to your advantage as a pitcher and as an organization, as Tommy Hotovy and Casey Jacobson and these other guys in the pitching department, that's how a lot of teams have gotten an edge. And I wouldn't say the Cubs are like the team that does the most crazy creative things. You know, the Yankees are probably in that vein this year, but the Cubs are definitely a sharp team. They put a lot of resources into a variety of these things, and the sweeper is a good example of that. And the kick chains is also a good example of that. Tyone has always had, like, I wouldn't say a problem with left-handed hitters, but to me, that's always what I'm locked on every single year. Is like, what is he doing differently versus lefties? Early last year, it was like, let me move the fastball off the inner third of the plate, kind of play this like outer third game with the four-seam and a cutter. And then when you look at it year over year, it was like, okay, we'd love to get more swing and miss versus left-handed hitters. The changeup was never that great. There's this new thing called the kick change, which is essentially this idea that you can like spike your middle finger on the ball. It allows the ball to drop more. And as a result of that, generally when you're chasing drop, you're generating more swing and miss. So it's kind of like a pure two-strike weapon for him. But I like it because if you have a hitter who is maybe has a bat path that lines up more with the curve, which is his primary lefty swing miss pitch, you could kind of toggle to the changeup, work it more down away, and it works really well. So he's a guy who's always tinkering. I know he's run into some lefty barrel problems this year, but I'm comfortable saying that he's like a three or a four in this rotation, and he's going to give you his 160 plus, and he's going to be a better than league average pitcher. And that's really valuable in the pitching puzzle, especially when you have a guy like Steele go down.
Well, what do you think it says about the fact that he's been able to isolate in adding this new aspect of the kick change? And then also, as we've seen, he's brought back that sweeper a bit. Like that shows some improvement to me when it comes to just the pure pitching aspect.
Well, he's a really sharp guy. Like, I really enjoy talking to him. He's probably one of my favorite pitchers on staff to talk through and just chat ball with. I ran into him at CubsCon. We had a good conversation and occasionally try to grab him in the clubhouse and chat. And I think he thinks about pitching in a really fun way. One that lines up on my side with the nerd stuff, right? Like, there's a lot of guys who are just kind of grip and rip it and, like, might be great people, but from a nerd standpoint, you know, I don't often like get a ton of insight from them, and that's totally fine. But with Tyone, I tend to have really good conversations, and I really respect his time whenever I get it. And I just think he thinks of pitching in a really sharp way. You know, he went to Tread Athletics, this kind of third-party player development company, this offseason, based out of North Carolina. They're like the innovators of this kick change that has now kind of taken over the league. And I think he's really receptive to things like this. Like, he's very aware. You can listen in his post-game press conferences as well, which we put up on our marquee YouTube and stuff. Like, he's very aware of, you know, his deficiencies as a pitcher, where he needs to correct. And that gives me confidence that when he runs into something like the lefty barrel problem, that in a starter or two, he's going to clean it up. And he already has. Like, his last three have been really good. I know he gave up that monster shot to Ellie, but Ellie's a very good hitter. So I think he'd even say, you know, he pitches how he did and gives up one tank to Ellie. That's probably a good start.
Yeah, that was more than a monster shot. That was the moonshot's probably not the right word. Yeah. So that 117.4 miles per hour off the barrel is pretty strong. Speaking of development, guys who are tinkering with things, this is more of a mental thing. But hearing Ben Brown after his appearance, not a start, although Craig Counsell technically said it was the best start he's had all season, even though he came in the second inning. What did you make of what Ben Brown had to say about his approach when it comes to the first inning? And do you feel like this opener thing is going to be a recurring theme, or is he going to be weaned off of it rather quickly?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think they'll use it sparingly. I think the idea would be to get him back to starting comfortably. And maybe it's more a matter of like figuring out what his mindset was as an opener and parsing and copy pasting that to the point where he comes out on the mound in the first and he's that locked in. I just think that opener, specifically with the Reds, was a bit funky because they just saw him, you know, and they stacked lefties. Like, if you could flip Ellie around to the right side, he's a much worse hitter. So it made a lot of logical sense to go with some lefty, whether it be Thielbar, it ended up being Pomeranz, to kind of open and force Terry Francona's hand, where it's like, are you willing to take an extreme disadvantage in this first inning and then let Ben Brown, cook? And I think that ended up working out. As to whether they continue to do it, we'll see. They already have a TBD on Wednesday's game. Or is it Wednesday's game? Thursday's game, excuse me. And that is Colin Ray's spot, I believe. Obviously, he's coming off kind of a rough start. Maybe they do it again. Like, I don't know the Nationals lineup at the top of my head in terms of where you'd want to flip guys, but it could be a similar scenario where, okay, James Wood versus lefties, he crushes lefties. He'll probably take the platoon advantage there slightly. I think Abrams switch, so you could flip him around to the right side, where I imagine he probably has a little less pop. So maybe it works out to their advantage, where again, it's like, oh, okay, let's put a lefty in here and give them an extreme disadvantage here, such that a couple of their best hitters, you know, are now basically only getting three productive ABs, and we'll take away that fourth. That's kind of the thought process around the opener, and I think the byproduct of that is kind of the mental side, as Brown talked about, where it just locked him in, you know? And, you know, he's also a really cerebral dude, and I just wonder whether it allowed him to kind of take a deep breath, and it worked. And kudos for the department for bringing that up and pushing it in that direction. I don't know how many teams would be comfortable with that, you know? I feel like the opener was the thing a couple years ago. I wouldn't say it's like died off. The Tigers are going to see this weekend. Did it a ton last year and used, you know, piggybacking bullpen guys, et cetera. But yeah, it's a sharp move by the org.
Lance Brzozowski, Marquee Sports Network player development analyst, joining us here on Raheemy and Harris, talking about the Cubs and all the guys trying to do different things as they get ready to head out on a 9-day, 9-game road trip. They've won 14 of their last 18 games, 6 of their last 7. But they're facing some stiff competition on this road trip, beginning with a Nationals team that has played pretty well as of late. They've won 4 of their last 5, just coming off wins as far as series-wise against the Mariners and the Diamondbacks. I'm looking at really this Michael Bush question, because we've been advocating here on Raheemy and Harris that this man needs to see more left-handed pitching.
Cliff Floyd has too.
Yeah,
Cliff bears the torch.
Listen, he's in that camp. He knows better than us, just from a handedness standpoint, if you will, and obviously a Major League Baseball standpoint. Lance, what is it going to take for him to start getting starts against lefties? The numbers bear out that he can hit lefties.
Yeah, this is a tough one. So I run into this a bit. You know, it goes to a larger discussion I was having the other day with Cole Wright in the Marquee Studios here about, like, clutch, the element of clutch. And this idea that, like, I think of clutch as, like, okay, if you're a 280 hitter and you hit 280 in clutch situations, you're just who you are in that spot. As to whether you can ever get a sample large enough in clutch situations to be like, wow, this guy plays up, and we see it over 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 6 years, where it's a large enough sample where you're confident and then projecting forward, is a bit different of a story. Whereas, like, I think we generally view clutch as like this element of the guy did it once, therefore he is clutch going forward. The data doesn't necessarily back that up. And as you see a lot of departments operate in the way that they don't totally believe that data is predictive, for example. And I'm using this metaphor here, analogy, to bridge it back to Bush in terms of lefties. It's the same concept where you run this weird gambit of, okay, most of the time we know that, like, lefties have a disadvantage facing other lefties. And to the extent that Bush, he hasn't been totally productive, in my opinion, versus lefties this year. He's got a 494 OPS. So you put that on the table and you go, okay, like, this is what we have. I know he hit him a little better last year, but this year he's not hitting particularly well against them. So you then get to the angle of, like, okay, are we confident that by giving Bush more ABs versus lefties, he will then improve and get to the point where he's maybe 100 WRC plus, so a league average hitter, and then that makes us more confident going forward and actually playing him versus other left-handed
pitching. I guess the question is, Lance, how do we get to that point if we don't give him a chance? I you know, going off his career numbers, and then, yes, maybe not as good of late, but he has to get the opportunity to prove it, right?
Yeah, the argument against your data collection is you would measure regression of others rather than consistency of one. Consistency would argue that it is therefore valuable. It's the regression of others that would indicate that the lack of consistency would prove your data.
It's true, but the other angle is, like, okay, is his swing just not going to work versus left-handed pitching? Like, that's the angle here. It's like Tucker is an exception where he's incredibly good versus left-handed pitching. PCA is a great example of that. I don't know if we have enough sample to say that even if Bush were to see a bunch of left-handed, so he was a league average hitter last year versus lefties, what do we go back to 2023? Is that sample large enough? I'm trying to look. Not enough big sample there. So you have, like, two sides of the coin here. I'm not totally convinced that if he sees a bazillion lefties, or not a bazillion, let's say he gets, like, 200 plate appearances versus lefties throughout the course of the season, you know, and he's a 50 to 70 WRC plus guy. Like, that's a massive hit when you're either facing other left-handed pitching, especially when, like, you go Friday and face Skuball, you know what I mean? So maybe it's a matter to me of, like, lining him up against specific lefties where you maybe think he has more of a shot. But yeah, I think teams are always going to operate from the standpoint of, like, this guy has some bit of a disadvantage. I would imagine they're not just going off the fact that he isn't good versus lefties. There's probably something they're looking at in the underlying data that suggests to them that even if we were to give this guy 300 plate appearances versus left-handed pitching, he would be better. That's my struggle, is like assuming that, you know, because the angle would be in 3 weeks, he faces a bunch of left-handed pitching, he's terrible. And then it's like, okay, it didn't work, and you're at a disadvantage. Now, because the offense is so good, maybe you allow yourself a chance to be more aggressive in these situations. But I'm just not totally convinced that it would work in the sense that, like, he just needs more AABs, and then all of a sudden he'll be great versus left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
He slugs down in. I don't think a lot of lefties are going to throw him down in. He's going to be elevated where he doesn't cover as much as down in, and he's also going to be swept away where, again, he doesn't cover as much as he does down in. So, like, if his swing is grooved to cover down in, I'm not totally convinced him facing lefties all of a sudden will allow him to cover sliders away and sweepers away and stuff. So I struggle a little bit with the idea that he'll just get better versus lefties by seeing them more. I know that's counter to, like, the intuition of just letting him try it out.
I think it's great conversation, Lance, and that's part of what makes what you do so valid. Is that the next question is, if that's the case, then how sustainable is it for the Cubs offense when the margins do matter, when they're not 15 games above 500, when they are fighting for playoff contention? How sustainable is it to continue to platoon the way they are between him and Turner?
It's a great point. I mean, the problem to some extent is probably Turner's production overall, right? And it's like you look at like Johnny Long and some of these guys down at AAA and you go, oh, would he be better? And I know that like Turner brings a lot of elements of the intangibles. And like, I think that's incredibly important, even as a data guy. Like some of those elements I think are irrefutable in terms of what they can add to a clubhouse. So that's a great question. I don't think I have an answer for you. I think that the Cubs are going to probably take another 2 months to figure it out and then get to deadline time and realize whether they, you know, you end up in a playoff situation where you're facing a left-handed pitcher. You know, Bush probably doesn't start that game if it's a good lefty, and then you can use him as a pinch hit tool late. But then are you confident in what Turner can do from a plate approach standpoint to actually put up a marginally better WRC plus than a guy like Bush in that spot? I fortunately don't have an answer for you in the sense that, like, it's going to be definite. I think the Cubs will tell us their confidence level in that by what the roster looks like on August 1st.
Well,
as cop-out of an answer as that is, but they're going to tell you through their actions as opposed to what they're saying, and I think that's the reality of a lot of sports.
Makes sense.
Well, and to add on what you're saying, you know how important the offensive production is now at a first base in baseball, especially when you consider what's happening at third. So that I feel like if we've got that data, so do they, right? So that's part of this equation too.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, everyone is using all of this information to try to optimize their lineup as much as possible. And I think that it gets back to the Bush point of, like, they're looking, I'm just going to defer to what they have on the swing data and approach standpoint stuff, you know, to the point where it's like, well, maybe give him some lighter lefties, but like if he faces Skubal and some of these other guys, like, it's a disadvantage to our team to be able to do that. And I don't know, like, as to whether that's correct process around a guy like Bush, who looks, I mean, has been an incredibly productive hitter and looks like a slam dunk acquisition for the org right now. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that matching him up in spots where he can succeed is probably the premise they're leaning on. So far it's working, and I get that it seems like he should face more lefties. I'm not totally sold that's the correct approach.
Lance, this has been awesome just to get real seam head and real in the weeds with you, both on hitting and on pitching. It's a rare occasion that we get to do it, and we appreciate it here and you joining us on The Score.
Thanks, Lance.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to nerd out more often.
Yeah.
We've opened up this Pandora's box. We love it. You can catch more of what Lance does, of course, on Marquee. And he mentioned that YouTube channel as well. I think the world of what Lance does, even on Twitter, his feed is really compelling. So check it out if you get the chance. You will not regret it if you enjoyed this conversation.
And again, just to put the bow on that left-handed with Bush argument or discussion, not an argument, just a discussion, an open panel of whatever. I just know what his numbers are in his career against left-handed starting pitcher. Those aren't the nasty, filthy left-handed specialists you see come in seventh, eighth, ninth inning. This is different. That's why would you not be okay with running him out there? The guy for his career, .267 batting average, .379 on base, .430 slug, that's an .809 OPS over not that many plate appearances, 103, but enough of a size to say maybe we want to go. But if you're seeing like he's talking about, the super analytically swing path, all that stuff facing lefties, and it's not, you know, playing out that way, I get it.
Yeah, it's kind of like knowing, even, for example, that we know what Kyle Tucker's favorite pitch to hit is. And I would understand the handedness would have a hand in that, so to speak.
Yeah.
I also know that You want to call it a discussion, and I'll call it a new street fight.
Wow. See, why you got to escalate it like that? I just wanted to have a friendly banter.
I thought somebody killed somebody with a trident.
You told me we didn't have to embrace debate. I would like to agree with you sometimes.
No, Lance is awesome. That's what he does. And seriously, check out what he says on Twitter, on just all the platforms that he's available. It's a lot of fun to examine and just read what how he thinks about baseball and how he sees it. I really do enjoy it. We have more coming up here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Of all the people that we have talked about over the last 3.5 hours, the numbers are getting worse on somebody who held great value in this city. And perhaps the most concerning example is what happened over the weekend. We will examine that next on The Score.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Four.
Leila Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think right now, as my season is going, I don't think anybody's going to take a chance on me. You know, I just focus on, you know, in trying to get better. I can't think in anything else.
Why does this make me so sad to hear Billy Russo speak through Luis Robert when it comes to the situation that is in front of him and whether or not we think that there's a possibility that he could bring the Sox something in return at the trade deadline? This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Marshall Harris, Leila Rahimi, and you as we talk White Sox, because unfortunately, in a Sox series that not only had me completely wrong in that I thought they had a chance to sweep the Orioles, instead the Orioles swept them, but to add to the frustration and perhaps to illustrate the concern in that actual series itself, Luis Robert went 0-for-10 in this series. and had 7 strikeouts. 7 of your 10 at-bats are strikeouts. You can even tell, and Billy has been Luis's translator for a long time, the just sadness when you hear not only how it's said, but him understanding where he's at in his baseball career right now.
Quite frankly, Lila, he's at the bottom of his baseball career. This is a guy who was a 5-win player just and an all-star just a few seasons ago. Back in 2023, we were looking at him as like, okay, they at least have that. That is something that they can depend on. And then you see him only playing in 100 games last year, dealing with injury, batting .224. And you were thinking, okay, but if he has a bounce back first half of this year, he's going to be a really valuable contract because he was only owed, what, $20 million a year going forward for the next couple of seasons? And we've devolved to the point where this man, who's hitting .180 with a .270 on base percentage and slugging under .300, he has a .561 OPS.
Oh, gosh.
His OPS plus is .61. We're to the point now where with his .1 war through 54 games, it's looking like the Sox not only are not going to be able to trade him for anything, but that they'll just simply pay the buyout and let him walk at the end of the season.
The slash line for the first 2 months of the season, .180, .270, .291.
It's not good.
It's heartbreaking.
He is leading the league in stolen bases, though. He has 21.
Yeah, because he has talent. And that's going to be the, I guess at this point, when these are your options, that's going to be the rub, is that you know he's got tools. You've seen them for yourself. How much of this is being on this team? How much of this was putting a lot of the responsibility of these teams on himself? And then seeing what we're seeing now in these late stages this past season and then what we saw previously. I will never forget the image of him. I think it was the end of the 22 season, or maybe it was 23, just doing what he absolutely could. It was 23. And swinging with like one hand because he was injured and just trying to make something happen, knowing that it wasn't going to. And knowing that he was injured and just doing what he thought he was doing to help the team at the time. And what's disturbing to me is understanding that he hasn't had a year like 2023 since. And that wasn't even his best. That's the saddest part about all of this, is his raw talent and what he meant to the Sox and how it's indicative of their offensive failures in a way where he doesn't even have enough value for them to flip him for something that they could get that's reasonable. And they have taken it on the chin in some of these trades when it comes to return. You know, I've argued that they could have gotten more in various deals, and I still believe that. You know, for the example, the Garrett Crochet one, I think they got an excellent return. But the point is, at this juncture in time, what's best for him is a different team, and what's best for the Sox is a different team. But as far as the value of the transaction, I don't think it's going to be a lot.
The Sox got 7 hits yesterday. And remember, I told you I thought they were turning a corner just a couple of weeks ago, right?
We legit thought that this was their best chance to sweep.
Well, and the reason why I thought they were returning a corner is like, listen, Mike Tauchman's about to be up. And people laughed at me when I said that. Andrew Benintendi's about to be back up. People laughed at me. Those guys are getting the job done. Again, another couple of hits for Tauchman. He's batting .372 this season. Benintendi, he's 2-for-4. What stood out about the lineup yesterday?
Andrew Benintendi has value right now, whether or not you want to admit it.
Yeah, you can trade him and get something. He's more valuable than Luis Robert Jr.
I got some DMs that called me crazy, and I was like, nope, he's got value right now, and you know it.
But the biggest takeaway from yesterday's lineup, Layla, honestly, as I watched the White Sox try to claw back from a 3-1 deficit, they had Luis Robert Jr. batting in the 7 hole for the first time this season. That is a fall from grace right there. A top third of the lineup hitter now batting in the 7 hole. And you can't really make an argument of why he shouldn't bat 7th or lower.
No, it all makes sense when you consider what's gone on for the last 2 months. And even other observers of the White Sox that we love, know, and trust, like Josh Nelson, you can hear the sadness even in the tweets that he posts. You know, yesterday he said once a player reaches 5 years of service time, the MLB club needs consent from the player before optioning to AAA. I don't think Robert would consent being sent to Charlotte, but I could be wrong. If it comes down to that, his agent may ask for him to be placed on waivers. Just the sadness in even discussing this. One of the other things he posted was, and this is why I was thinking, oh, this is another piece of evidence in a very sad argument, is when Josh Nelson says, I'm not sure what the best play is anymore. Yes, yes. It just hits me in a dark place where I'm just looking off into the abyss, sad. Because when your fellow White Sox observers also don't know what to do, what do you do?
Let me pose it to you. What would you do right now to address Luis Robert Jr.? What is the next course of action for you if you were the general manager of the Chicago White Sox?
You know how we were just playing the sound bites from Rick Hahn on MLB Network talking about the Fernando Tatis
yes.
trade? You don't want to have that happen. That's what you're trying to avoid as a GM. Two very different situations.
Wait, I'm going to say, when you say that to happen, what would that look like for Luis Robert Jr. right now?
You don't want to give up a real star and not get anything in return. But in this case, I think...
Are you giving up or are you giving up on?
Well, it's not just that. It's your job as a GM is to get value for your team. Your job is to add assets to your team. And if you have a known asset, even though he hasn't performed for your team, you're still trying to do what you can. The problem is you're selling low.
But the problem with the whole you're selling low is, can he get higher? You talk about there's only one direction to go, and that's up. Are we sure he's just not going to stay where he is, though? That series was tough. You mentioned it, over 10, but it's the 7 strikeouts, and it's watching the at-bats where he looks miffed, to say the least, at the plate.
I think it's his self fulfilling prophecy at this point. When you're convinced that this is who you are and you're trying and you know you're trying.
Remember when they asked him about his trade value?
Yes, it was one of the saddest things I've heard.
And he talked about, can't imagine anybody would want me right now.
I think right now, as my season is going, I don't think anybody's going to take a chance on me. You know, I just focus on, you know, in trying to get better. I can't think in anything else.
When you consider what's happened to T.A., Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, and Luis Robert.
This is like the Detroit Lions thing, but different.
It's almost like they're cursed.
Dude, what? Shrapnel, why? What?
Like how
did
Detroit,
I get in this?
If you're a good player in Detroit, you just retire early. That's what you do. You go away.
I mean, why did Frank Ragnow decide? I mean, he gave a pretty
29.
Compelling argument.
Yeah, couldn't he do this
for
free agency? Like, I love Frank, but come on, dude. Like, we should have Drew Dolman. Like, not you guys. We should have Drew Dolman.
Wow. Why
you
are you entitled to Drew Dolman?
You are delusional.
Why are
right
you entitled
now?
To Drew Dolman?
Because we're big ballers. We're in the window. There are so many windows to get a Super Bowl. The Lions are in that window.
The Bears are in the
window. Do you want me to show you the tape of the
window.
Commanders game?
That was a tough watch. Let me tell you, that was a tough watch. I felt more pain in that thing, but we are in that window right now.
Who came closer to beating the Commanders last season? The Lions or the Bears?
I mean, come on. I mean, two completely different things right there.
Were they?
Yeah, okay.
One was a play. I understand.
One was decided on one play, and one was decided before the half was over.
We were 15-2. We were the best team in the NFL until that game. It was a horrible game.
Hang the banner.
Also, Ben Johnson called that game. If we want to, you know, do that. So,
wow.
You had 16 players on injured reserve. You're getting Aiden Hutchinson back. You do not deserve to have Frank or Drew Dolman because your center decided to retire.
Or Aaron Glenn. You don't deserve any of it. Just be happy you have players who can play. You have guys who have had all pro next to their name. Who on this roster? Yeah. What? I'm not trying to hear.
You got Javi Baez back.
You've got the best record in the major leagues.
You got 2017 Javi Baez.
Tariq Skubal.
Detroit's up right now.
That's the reigning Cy Young Award winner, right?
If you think about
now. They develop pitching. They do that.
I don't want to go in my homer mode, but if you think about right now, every Detroit team is better than every Chicago team. And for me, like even as a Detroit person, I don't know how that's possible.
This wasn't even about you. This was about Luis Robert.
Yeah, you made it about you.
Sorry. No, you said, no. We took I took shrapnel. I came in there.
There was no shrapnel.
Luis Robert is 27. Frank Ragnow is 29. Like, that's my point about wasted opportunities and what I think is still some valuable talent here. Unfortunately, I think the Sox are going to have to take it on the chin even more when it comes to Luis Robert.
So you think that he's gone for nothing? That's your guess? He's gone for nothing?
Is it like what happened you know, in 2021 at the deadline with like the Bryant Baez Rizzo situation? No, I don't, because he doesn't demand enough in return.
So there's two months for him to figure this out. Will he be given the 2 months to figure it out? That's really the question, is when we approach the trade deadline, will he still be on the White Sox roster playing to improve his trade stock?
For whatever reason, the sadness of when I read that tweet from Josh Nelson.
I felt that too. Maybe it was the way, like, you read it and dramatized it, but I felt
it. I'm not sure what the best play is anymore.
I mean, so if I asked you what you would do if you were the GM, Chris Getz, here's what I would do.
I think you have to move on.
I would first be like, are you willing to try to figure this out? We don't want to be in a situation where your money that's could have been guaranteed for next year is instead a buyout of $5 million. Are you willing to go to AAA and try to figure this stuff out? And if he's willing to do it, I think that's the route you go right now with Luis Robert Jr. That's what they should do. That's what they should do. I don't, because I just can wake up next opening day and just see him gliding around center field for some other team and being a productive Major League Baseball player and being like, the White Sox got nothing for that guy. I don't see this as a Tim Anderson.
Well, that's what happened with Eric Fetty, who's still shoving for the Cardinals.
No, but Fetty, they at least traded and got stuff back for him.
No, they didn't. They got three dudes from the Dodgers.
I'm saying they got stuff back.
They could have gotten something from the Cardinals, too. That's typically how these things go.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, but to get nothing is to get nothing. I don't want a situation where the White Sox get nothing for Luis Robert Jr. and he's out here contributing in a major league way on a major league baseball team.
But that's what's likely going to happen now. It's sunk cost.
But that's why, since you know that's what's probably going to happen, do everything in your power to make sure that's not the only end result. There are other possibilities. Explore every avenue, including asking the player, hey, do you want to fix this? We'll let you go down and fix this. If he says no, then yes, you're probably stuck.
It's almost like they were cursed. Like, they need to all be saged or something.
No, we've got the Pope. We're good.
Can the Pope save Luis Robert Jr.? My column.
That's maybe a fair enough question. Also, the text line is very mad at you, as is Twitch.
I think I'm going to apologize. I kind of crashed out there.
708. Stop it. Last year was the beginning of the end of the Lions window. You obviously just don't know it yet.
I went Detroit meatball right there. As soon as
dang, 708. They have Jason Benetti. They're really laying it on thick, huh?
Well, think about it. In my lifetime, I've seen Calvin Johnson be the best player and the best wide receiver retire. I've seen Justin Verlander and Miguel Cabrera play for my team. No championship. And, of course, Barry Sanders. Detroit is where people come to
die. You've also seen a triple crown, have you not?
No, it was
don't forget David Price.
Zero championships for those amazing players.
Michigan won a national title. You're fine.
I hate Michigan.
Oh, well,
why?
You're less fine.
I grew up a State fan.
If only there was some other sport they were good at, you know, like basketball.
I was five when they won their championship. Haven't seen one since.
They go to the late rounds of the tournament all the time. What's the problem?
He's just being a jerk right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize to the listener.
Oh, somebody texted him with a solution. 229, Robert goes on the IL with a lower body injury. I like the vagueness. We work on hitting basics for the 10 days, send him on a rehab stint to single A, double A, and triple A.
Not single A.
To build confidence and get him back for the Rocky
series. We're not
singing
Luis Robert Jr.
That is a solution.
To single A. But to bring him back in the Rocky series is genius. I will give you that.
This isn't bad. This isn't bad. And you know what the Rocky series is?
July 4th.
Before the trade deadline.
Fireworks, July 4th.
Luis Robert's Independence Day.
Okay, I'm with it, 229. I'm with it.
I love a good plan.
Yeah, and 708 right below that. 2 months to figure it out. He sucked for years at this point. Come on. Year. He was an all-star in 2023. That's the year before last.
It just feels like that because of what's happened. Do you want me to remind you about the time that batters were walked intentionally mid at bat when there were two strikes in the count?
Just
do we want to go there?
Let it go. We got to talk about the other stuff next. What was the other stuff?
Rainbow cone. No, it's inside the NBA.
Oh, that makes me sad too.
Pour one up. Yes, more sad piano music.
Yeah, we'll talk inside the NBA.
Is this where we do the Tom Rinaldi? On a television set far away, at a time they used to be known as a different dynasty. Cable television was a major source of information.
Before streaming, you had Turner Broadcasting and its associated networks.
A man named Barkley used to bark about basketball.
I like that one.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And to that new network we coming to, we not coming to F around. And since it's the last show, I'm going to say it, we not coming to F around.
I'll remember you.
This is the appropriate song.
Will you?
I can't actually believe it's over.
It's not over.
It feels like it's over.
It's over in a way, but they'll be back next year. It's fine.
Although, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Some new audio has surfaced. Charles Barkley, who kind of is talking about the way things might be, and it might not be exactly the inside the NBA you know and love.
No, we're going to pour one out today and many out in the future for Inside the NBA on TNT. That's how this is going to go.
Okay, so today we're pouring out. What are we pouring out? Is it a 40 of
Mad Dog 2020?
A box of churros.
Not a box of churros in honor of Chuck and his stance on San Antonio women. Is that what you were referring
exactly,
to when you
yes.
said? Okay. What? You're a Texas native? No, that's we're not.
Do you see me disapprovingly shaking my head?
I do see it.
With no words.
Yeah, but Chuck is very, you know what? He's been consistent on his stance on San Antonio, and it's...
If I go to San Antonio, I'm going to get a bunch of churros.
Yeah. Churros.
I mean, he's right for that.
On his churros. He's got very, very opinionated about churros and the quality of churros in San Antonio. Why are you looking at me like that, Layla?
I struck a nerve. I apologize.
It's not
You're
that.
Not from San Antonio.
It's just the...
You're Gucci.
I don't like the dissing on San Antonio.
San Antonio,
I took it personally.
Is so overrated. Like every time I go to San Antonio, I'm like, oh, Riverwalk. You know what? Riverwalk might be the most overrated thing about any city that I've ever heard about, like that city.
We have one.
No. But it's not go to Chicago for the Riverwalk. It's if you're in San Antonio, where's something going on?
I'm going to say this one time.
Say it one time. And if you want to repeat yourself, you're more than free to.
I lived in Austin for 5 years.
Five I love
very
Austin.
Active years.
That's
where
a different city.
I could run on fumes.
Sixth Street. Let's go.
No, but I mean, I was a videographer for the overwhelming day, parts of my day. I would shoot video for like 5 and 6 hours a day. I was carrying 50 pounds of TV equipment.
Camera guy.
I was in my 20s and I could run on fumes. And I lived in Austin at the time. I had more fun in San Antonio than I did in Austin. Chuck just didn't know where to go.
Austin was different back then, first off.
No.
Because I've been to both places.
Chuck just didn't know where to go. One of my favorite places in San Antonio was by the airport. It was a bar called Plan B. They would play Big Tuck. Chuck just didn't know where to go.
I really disagree with that. But you know what? You lived in Austin and you're telling me Austin's boring. I
didn't say that. I just said I had more fun in San Antonio.
I think you always have more fun when you're visiting a city than the city you actually
live in. It was an hour down the street.
If I go to San Antonio, I'm going to get a bunch of churros.
So
those who understand the power of me saying a bar by the airport called Plan B where they played Big Tuck. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Let's listen to what Ernie Johnson had to say. This is how they got off the air for the final edition of this iteration of Inside the NBA following the conference finals 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago.
I'm grateful that I've worked with you guys. I'm grateful for all of the relationships we've built professionally and personally through the years. You just don't realize that until you see people here on the road and say, hey, this is probably going to be it. And you think back to all the good times you had. So I'm grateful for that, and also grateful that we have members of our crew who are going to go work at NBC or work at Amazon. And you know why they got those jobs? Because their resume says NBA on TNT. So thank you. We have been honored to do this. And we look forward. The four of us, as you've already heard, the four of us are going to be together. Our production crew is going to be together. It's going to be that same bunch. We're still going to be shooting that show in Atlanta. It's just going to air somewhere else. And so the craziness that you've seen, the nonsense and the foolishness and the top-notch basketball analysis, all of that stuff's going to be on. It's going to be on ESPN or ABC next year, not on TNT. For that, we're sad. But I'm proud to say for the last time, thanks for watching us. It's the NBA on TNT.
Before we go, guys, let's get a mic drop.
Did you hear the guy in the background?
Are they paying more? Also, like, how cute were the kids? Were they saying hi, Rome? Rome?
I think so.
It's like, hi, Rob. And then later there was like four of them. Hi, Rob.
Listen, man, it's the end of an era. I'm not denying that. I'm very hopeful that ESPN and ABC, they know what they're doing. Mickey Mouse knows what he's doing, and they don't try to tinker with something that is
perfect. For the longest time, ESPN was considered more formulaic. You know, like when we're joking about the Tom Rinaldi sad piano and the pacing and the pun on words and all of that. But TNT wasn't. TNT was the place where you could drive into the chaos, where you could be off the cuff, you know, where you could have fun like that. And the memorable moments were somewhat about basketball and somewhat not. And that's always what I really appreciated about Inside the NBA, about TNT itself letting their people do what they do best. And it changed the way that we talk about sports for the better.
I completely agree, and I will miss this iteration, but I'm just trying to be optimistic about what holds the future. That when that news came out that they were going to keep the crew together to do a show for ABC and ESPN, I was like, yes, this is the right move. Speaking of the right move right now, call this number if you want tickets to the Cubs game. 312-540-0670. That's for tickets to see the Cubs against Pittsburgh at Wrigley Field June 12th. It's all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. Again, caller number 6 right now, 312-540-0670.
I think, I don't know, I'm still going to absorb the loss of Inside the NBA on TNT, but what I hope we don't lose is the way that we all talk about basketball, because it was like peers talking about other peers. You felt like you were in a locker room the entire time.
No, that's what it's going to be. And I think that model's now been out there for other people to kind of imitate for years now.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about it probably on tomorrow's show. And until then, it's time to bring in the afternoon show. Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.